How do you prepare for the greatest event in human history? Hi, I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor of Fraser Church here in Montgomery, Alabama, and I'm excited to welcome you to Fraser 365. In this study, we're asking what it looks like to truly and thoroughly prepare ourselves for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is our hope that you come to a deeper knowledge of the gospel as we're challenged and encouraged in the days to come.
You're listening to Day 7 of Preparation for Resurrection. Today's title is The Enticement of Sin. 1 John 2:16 reads, "For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world." Our text today is Genesis 3, 6 through 7. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of it its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths." Eve fell prey to the enticement of sin. Observe how she encountered all three significant categories of temptation referenced in 1 John 2:16. The lust of the eyes. "So when the woman saw, and that it was a delight to the eyes." The lust of the flesh. "That the tree was good for food." The pride of life. "And that the tree was to be desired to make one wise." Satan uses temptation to entice us to sin, much like a fishing lure draws a fish with bait before the hook catches it. Sin entices people with false promises and temporary gratification, but ultimately leads to destructive consequences. James 1:14 through 15 describes this process. "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." This analogy explains how temptation starts with enticement and desire, which leads to actions that, while appealing at first, result in pain and suffering. If Eve had focused on what God said would happen if she ate of the fruit of that specific tree, maybe the consequences would have impacted her choice. God said that the result would be death. The wages of sin are always death. Now, before we are quick to judge Eve and dismiss Adam's involvement, don't miss the essential words. "She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate." John Walton writes, "Where was Adam through all of this?" The text tells us, Adam was there with Eve. What else can verse 6 mean besides that he was present at the temptation? It should be noted that all the verbs in this section are plural. From verse 1, where the serpent addresses the woman but uses the plural "you," to the woman's use of the inclusionary "we," and the serpent's description of the results formulated to both, there is every grammatical indication that both are there. Why does the woman do the speaking then? Because she is addressed. Why does the serpent address the woman? The text does not say. Why does the man not correct the woman's statement? Again, the text offers no explanation. It is also interesting that when God comes to address their sin, he addresses Adam first. In Genesis 3:9, "But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?'" In the original language, the "you" in God's question is singular. God did not say to Adam and Eve, "Where are y'all?" The plural sins in the garden were that Eve was deceived and Adam disobeyed. But the greatest sin was that while they were both being tempted, Adam was silent. God had created a man to speak and name things, yet he failed to call out Satan for his lies and watched passively as his wife fell prey to temptation. As soon as they sinned, they both realized it. Their first reaction was to hide from God, as if they could run from sin's consequences. But God came walking in the cool of their day and confronted them. He gave them both a chance to confess. But instead, they both play the blame game. Today's lesson should warn us not to take the bait of sin. Even though sin is highly enticing, there is always a hidden hook. May foreseeing the consequences keep you obedient to the Lord God's commands. Here are some questions to consider. How are you tempted in the three areas mentioned in 1 John 2:16? Why is Adam's failure to speak God's truth so essential to the fall of mankind? In what ways is deception involved in every temptation? Thanks for joining us again. Have a great day.